Well, I have no announcements. Robin, do you have any announcements? I can't think of anything at the moment. Right. Okay. Well, I don't know about you, but I did it this morning. I did it last night. We did it when we got here, just before services. We do it as part of our life. It becomes second nature. We do it organically because that's who we are. And that is, we ask a blessing. We ask a blessing. We want to bless. We want to be blessed. And if you like titles, today's title is just going to be simply God's blessing. God's blessing. Now, to bless is to consecrate. That is to be set aside for God's special purpose. You know, we ask a blessing at the wedding. We certainly want a couple to live in concert with God and His way of life. We want that example. We ask a blessing on the house. You know, sometimes we visit, we have a meal, we ask a blessing on those who are at the house. We want them to live in concert with God. We have the ceremony of the blessing of the little children, second Sabbath on the child and the parents. We want a blessing to take place. To bless means to consecrate, to set aside for a special purpose. To bless means to invoke divine care or protection. Ask for divine favor. I feel your blessing. I feel your prayers when I'm on the road. I tallied up probably 144,000 miles coming to and fro to Eureka and Crescent City. Over 144,000 miles in my tenure. And I've seen God's intervention, and I've not seen God's intervention, but it happened anyway. Because when you're on the road, a lot can happen, and a lot happened elsewhere instead of around me. God's blessing took place. To bless is also to honor. We bless God's name. We bless God. We're going to go there in Psalm 103. In life, we will experience physical blessings. And in life, we will experience spiritual blessings. And physical blessings can be our health, our employment, things that we're involved in, events that we're interested in. But the more important, the bigger, the stronger, the longer lasting, life-changing, spiritual blessings are the peace of mind. Isaiah 26:3. Boy, I go to that a lot. Great peace have they whose mind is stayed on you, because we trust in you. We have spiritual blessings of hope for tomorrow. Sue was 73, but she still hoped for tomorrow. She had 73 years on this earth, but she hoped for tomorrow. Nancy was 78. She had hope for tomorrow. This isn't all there is. Spiritual blessing is God's gift of the Holy Spirit, which binds us together as brothers and sisters and binds us together with God and Jesus Christ, the same Spirit. That is a spiritual blessing. During times of trials, we experience blessings. Because we can go through a trial. God strengthens us. We learn to trust in Him. And our life is changed because of blessings. One of the oft-repeated scriptural admonitions is to remember God's blessings and to thank Him for them. Psalm 103. Let's go there. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 1. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. Give honor and glory to God. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. The name of God is holy. Now, it doesn't mean we don't use it, but we revere His name. We use it with honor and respect. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Ooh. We're told to remember something. We're told to remember his benefits. Well, he goes on to list some of them. Verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities. Boy, I am grateful for that. That is an incredible blessing that on a daily basis I can go before God and say, my Father, Jesus Christ, at your right hand, forgive my sins. The sacrifice that Jesus Christ made, his shed blood, he covers my sins. And I am repenting of that which I did, that which I thought. And forget not all his benefits, and who forgives all your iniquities, who heals your diseases. He heals us according to his will. Who redeems your life from destruction. Age 14, my life was taking a very different turn. When I turned 18, I tried to join the Navy. And that's when God smacked me upside the head and said, no, I got something else for you. And in 1968, that was the height of the Vietnam War. That's where I was headed. I was redeemed from destruction. Who crowns you with right loving kindness and tender mercies. I have seen in my life, and I've seen in the lives of many, many people in God's church, in the body of Christ, that there is kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, my mind says I'm young, my body says I'm not. But my mind says I'm young because I have a hope in tomorrow. Some of the blessings are listed here, but we're told to remember God's blessings and to thank him for them. To remember, don't forget, to recall to mind. And sometimes it can be hard. We get wrapped up in things. How do we recall all the blessings that we have? You can keep your finger in Psalms, but join me in Philippians 4. Sometimes we don't know how to keep our mind on God. Philippians 4. And verse 8. Paul is saying, finally, kind of this is a last thought in the letter that Paul has to the Philippians, but in my mind, this is where we should begin. We ask a blessing on the day. We ask a blessing on the evening. We go before God in our nighttime prayers and we thank God and we bless him. Sometimes we forget the blessings we receive, but this is a great place to start. Brethren, whatever things are true, what good things happened to me that day? Whatever things are noble, things that have changed me during the day, what things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there's any things praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And if we do, we will remember God's blessings and we will remember to thank him for that. Because when we apply each of these to ourselves, we keep God in mind. We keep our calling in mind. We keep our focus beyond the physical. This world is designed to take us away from God, designed to distract us from God. Philippians 1:6 is a great addition to this. In my early years, I struggled with many things. But I would come back to here, Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He won't leave us alone. We may walk away from him, but he never forgets us. I have a friend who walked away from the body of Christ for 17 years, came back with energy. God didn't forget the person. Reminded the person of where life is. And they remembered God's blessing and they remembered to thank him. God does promise blessings in our lives. Psalm 91. See, I should have kept my place in the Psalms too. Psalms 91. when we go through trials and difficulties, this is a great place to go. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I've often said, God's word is open to those who God opens the word to. That's the secret place. And we, when we're called, are under the shadow of the Almighty. God has spread his figuratively wings. There's no wings involved. And he shadows us, protects us. I say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. When we walk into trials and difficulties, do we say that? Now, I go back to that one time. Not one time, but I'm sure I've said this one here, where I forgot to do my assignment at work, and two of us were going to cover an hour of technical data before 50 people. And the 50 people were directors and vice presidents and such. I forgot. On the way to the hall, I've got hallway bounding heads going to the meeting. I had asked God, I said, God, help me to endure the beating I'm about to get. And before I got to the door, everybody started turning around because that meeting was canceled. He is my refuge and my fortress. I have never forgotten that. And when I get into trouble and when difficult times happen, my God, in him I will trust, because I have experienced that. He is my refuge. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, you know, figuratively. You know, this is poetry. And under his wings you shall take refuge. Oh, there are times when I gather my grandchildren in my arms and I cover them like a hen does their chicks. They're mine, and I will protect them with my life. And they like it there. They know they're safe. For we have been consumed by your anger. There's times when God will correct us, and we want a parent to correct us. We don't want to live our life without correction, without direction. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. And there are times where we think we're getting away with something. We are never getting away with anything. And it says here, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80. Well, some of us are older than that. And my goal is to make 90. And I'm forgetting why I'm here. What was I reading? Oh, 14, 15, sorry. I'm sorry, you know what? It made no sense, but I was reading Psalm 90. No wonder I was having trouble. Never mind. Okay, that's twice. One more time and I'll just sit down and we'll have a video. Wow. Oh, no, I was in the right spot. I just didn't go to the next column. Sorry, my bad. Okay, surely you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness. You're not going to be afraid of things because God is your strength, your refuge. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Well, the way of this world, there's no success. Oh, it may appear that way, but ultimately there's no success for the wicked. Because you have made, verse 9, you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. You dwell there with God. Remember God's blessings and thank him. This is where you dwell. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. In the NIV, it says, no evil will conquer you. In the New Living Translation, it says, no evil will conquer you. We could get run over by so many things in this society, but it won't conquer us because God is our refuge. He is our strength. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. There are many times when God intervenes and we just don't know it. There are times when God steps in, prevents something from happening, and we'll never know until we talk to the angelic beings in the world tomorrow. Sometimes we see it happen, but the angels take us out of trouble. I know for me, driving, I was 16. I got my driver's license at 14 and a half. I don't recommend that. In Florida, they let you do that back in my day. But I think I was 16 and driving. And I just decided that light is going to stay green, and I hit the accelerator. And the moment I hit the accelerator, it turned yellow. But I was committed to going through. It was a four-lane each way. And as I went through the intersection, a car cut in front of me because they were turning. Cut in front of me, and the car that was chasing him cut behind me. And I went between the two of them. I pulled over, and I shook. God intervened. I have no doubt there was intervention. I've got other stories, but We'll be here for a while. Didn't start. I guess I'm free. The angelic world is here to help us. Verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I'm going to give him life. I'm going to give him life. Romans 6:23 says, very simply, the wages of sin is death. If we sin and we don't repent, we don't exist. Yeah, there is no hellfire. We won't get into that today. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, that which is freely given to us, is eternal life through Jesus Christ. God gives us the gift of life. God promises blessings in our lives, and the perspective is we will have blessings in our physical life, but really, it leads us to eternal life. So much more, eternal life. The wages of sin, one direction, the gift of God, freely given to us, is eternal life. If you remember way back when, in Acts 8, Simon the sorcerer saw that the Holy Spirit was given to those who repented, and avarice, greed, he just loved the idea of being able to administer the Holy Spirit to people who repented. He tried to buy buy himself into the ministry. That's the only way that it's done today, is through the laying on of hands through the ministry. He wanted to turn giving the Holy Spirit into personal gain and fame because he was a known sorcerer. And he was denied because that's not how God does things. That's not how God does things. Join me in John 14. We're told to not forget all his benefits, not to forget the blessings of God, and to thank him. John 14, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. It was a trying time for his disciples. And he was trying to give them encouragement here. He just told Peter, you're going to deny me. And Peter and the disciples all say, well, that'll never happen. And that was human bravado. Of course, we know that they did. Verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It was difficult for the disciples. He was telling them that he was going to go away. They trusted him. He was a trusted companion. He was one that they could go to for any question that they had. Anytime there were doubts, anytime there was distractions or depression, they could go to Christ and he would give them answers and comfort and encouragement. And he was saying, I'm going to go away. But I'm going to come back so that wherever I am, there you will also be also. One of the things Jesus Christ promised to do for God's people, and here he was mentioning it, was after his resurrection when he was going to prepare a place. He was not a house. He was not preparing a land. He was not giving you acres of land. He was not building an office building. You're not going to have an office or a cubicle. But he was preparing responsibilities and service, position of responsibility and service for all of us. When God calls us, we have a change of life. We have a change to who we are and what we do. There are times when disasters happen around us. And there are blessings that occur even though they are disastrous. We have blessings that God has done for us. And we're thankful and we're grateful and we appreciate and we don't take them for granted. There are blessings that God also does in us. It's active. You know, we could ask, what is God doing in us? We are to bless God and not forget his benefits and his blessings. God protects us. We are blessed outside. God blesses us and we are protected on the inside. God has given us his Holy Spirit. We become a new creation. That was a bad transition. I wrote it this morning, but that's okay. 2 Corinthians 5:17 simply says, when we have God's Spirit connecting with man's spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There is a spiritual transformation that has taken place. Now we can worship God in spirit and in truth. We have God's Spirit. We can understand Scripture. And we can see the spiritual blessings that God has provided for us. We have become a new person, a different person. We could ask, what is God doing in us? John 14, verse 15. John 14, verse 15. We now think differently. We have a perspective that's different. Most assuredly, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. He will give you a comforter, that he may abide with you forever. God's Holy Spirit connects us with Jesus Christ, connects us with God the Father. It is the very essence of God, and connects you and I together. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you. When I was 14, 15, he dwelt with me. Changed my life. Didn't want it. God didn't let me go. And when I was 19, he then began to dwell in me. For he dwells with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. We have become one with God. We have become one with Jesus Christ. And in that essence, we have become one with one another. Brothers and sisters in Christ. That's a spiritual blessing beyond measure. I was never close to my family. My family. Sue's family is a different story. But you're my family. I am close to you. I'm close to every one of you. I better get off that subject real quick. Just saying. Verse 28. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. I'm going away. You can't come with me. At this time, they did not understand what was going to take place. They didn't understand truly about the Comforter. They didn't understand the necessity of Jesus Christ going back to God the Father. My Father is greater than I, and what Jesus Christ was saying, in essence, I can do more with you and more for you if I go away, because you'll have the Holy Spirit in you. He could do more in them through the indwelling of his presence than he could for them while he was present in the flesh. The same is true for all of God's people down through the ages. You know, we have physical needs, and our physical needs kind of diminish when we have God's Spirit in us, because the spiritual side is more important. The flesh is important because we live in a fleshly world. But the Spirit is much more important. You can put in your notes Galatians 2:20, because I have no idea how long I've been speaking. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been put to death. The being that would have died because of the living a physical life. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. We no longer live by ourselves. We're a new creation. Jesus Christ is living in us on a daily basis. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We could add 1 Corinthians 3:16 that says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? We're a different person. That is an incredible spiritual blessing. We are the temple of God. We are a different person. Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 5. The blessings that God is doing in us. Romans 8, verse 5. He's reminding us who we were and who we are. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Our perspective is different. Our perception is different. What's important to us becomes different. For to be carnally minded, to be physically minded, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. There's a contrast between man's way and God's way. Man's way is all about avarice and greed and me first. I don't know if you saw any of the political adverts for the, midterm elections, whatever. And I can't imagine a group wanting to bring the nation together, calling half the nation, stupid. I don't know how they want. It goes back to 2016, when one candidate called half the nation deplorables. How does one rule a whole nation when you don't want half the nation part of it? The world is filled with division. Man's way versus God's way. For to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because, verse 7, the carnal mind is enmity against God. Enmity. That is strong, deep-rooted hostility, animosity, and hatred. There is a hatred for God. Go to any university. The colleges, with the intellectuals that are there, hate God. Hate the idea of God. I love my sister-in-law, but she has an aversion to male-dominated organized religion. And yet when she sees my brother, is thrilled at the difference that God's Spirit in him makes. But just hates how he got there. But to get to him, you have to do what he did. You have to have an internal change. And she hasn't yet equated the two. To be carnally minded is enmity against God. There's a hatred against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. Neither can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. God's blessing, the Holy Spirit, dwells in us, and we are now a new creation. We are a different person. We can be a different person because we don't need someone watching over us to do what's right. We are choosing internally, from the heart, from the mind, to do what's right. Because we've changed from the inside out. My mother used to say, oh, great, I've forgotten what she said. Oh, always do what's right, whether you're watched or not. Something like that. So, having a physical mind, everything that you see is important to you. Therefore, we have deep-rooted hostility against God, because everything to us is physical. But we are different now. Philippians 2, verse 12. Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. We do what is right because it's inside us. We want to do what's right. It's in our heart and mind to do what's right. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Your salvation is dependent on you. I help as a teacher, but your relationship with God is between you and God. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. He wants to work with you. He wants to change you for His good pleasure. You are His child, His son, His daughter. Now, it's very interesting. The word work, God is working in you to give you the desire and power to do what pleases Him. That's New Living Translation, where God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. This is very interesting, because the word works in Greek is energio. There'll be a test. Energio. What does that word sound like? Energy. Energy. That's where we get the word energy. God gives us the energy and the desire to do what is right before God. That's His Holy Spirit in us. That's one of the blessings that we have. We have five senses, and as far as I can see, all five senses want to please me. Especially as a toddler, little infant, toddler, all those senses kick off and they want to please me. Thankfully, you get older, a parent helps you to understand you have to please the parent. And now, as I'm an old parent, I need to please God. God gives us the energy and power to please Him. And how important is that? Galatians 5 shows us what changes in us. A few pages back. We go from the works of the flesh in Galatians 5. That's how the physical mind wants to work. The works of the flesh. These are the things that are evident, it says. Now the works of the flesh are evident. These are evidence. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and the whole list of things. We can do some and not all. That's not who we want to be. But then we get down to verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit. This is what God has changed in us because of the blessing of His Holy Spirit. The fruit, the output, the product of God's Spirit in us is love. The first one there, God is love. 1 John 5. God is love. We have now the essence, the mind of God in us. And we are learning to love as God loves. The agape love, not the eros and the philia, not the different kinds of human love, but godly love. And then joy. The joy of salvation. Knowing that tomorrow's is coming. 1 Thessalonians 4. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. There is a tomorrow. Christ is going to come and the dead are going to rise. Those who are asleep in Christ. Sue and Nancy the rest. They are asleep in Christ and they're going to rise. The fruit of God's Spirit. This is what's changing on the inside. We have become a new creation. These are developed because God's Holy Spirit is in us. And the experiences we have in life change us so that these become part of the forefront of our character. These are all the qualities of character that God develops in us by means of His presence within us through the Holy Spirit. We are warned, and we were there before, Romans 12. Not to copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform us into a new person by changing the way we think. To learn and know God's will for ourselves, what is good and pleasing and perfect before His sight. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Only a reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that takes God's Spirit in us, that we may prove. I didn't do that. That we may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is a major change. John 15, just a few pages back, John 15. John 15, verse 4. John 15, verse 4, abide in me, that means to live in me, to be in me, to always have my mind there in front of you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. The fruit that we're going to bear, we just read. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. That's who we become. The blessing of God is from the inside. God is glorified when we bear much fruit because His Spirit is evident in us. His Spirit is evident in us. So God blesses us doing things for us. God blesses us, changing us from the inside out. We're called for a reason, and God blesses others through us. God blesses others through us. First Peter 2, verse 5. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. To offer up spiritual sacrifices which are acceptable to Jesus Christ. That's what we do with our time. That's what we do with our prayers. That's what we do with words of encouragement. We are a different person. Spiritual sacrifices. Verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. There was a time when we had no mercy. We lived on our own. God wasn't part of our life. Now He is. Verse 11, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, this isn't our world, we're sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. When Jesus Christ comes, they're going to be surprised. Oh, you were right all along. I was taken to task for some of my beliefs. I didn't take it well because I was a teenager. I had yet to develop a spiritual spine. Today is different. But what they're saying here, now we are ambassadors. We're examples to the world. The world will look at us and take a look at, this is how it's supposed to be. We're a very small group by comparison to the world. The world is, if I could use Carl Sagan, billions and billions of people, and we are a blip in numbers. But we're teaching the world, by example, the world that is coming. Because by living by God's way today, we are teaching the world what is coming tomorrow. The world is blessed through us. People who run into us will be blessed by what we say and by what we do. Genesis 22. I think you probably know where I'm going. Abraham was given a task. And those who say predestination is a guarantee, no. God gave Abraham a task, and he passed the task. Verse 12, he says, do not lay a hand on the lad or do anything to him. Quote, for now I know that you fear God. Now I know. That phrase, I think every one of us has to go through an experience that God will say of us, now I know. And but for Abraham, it was going to be continued. Verse 15. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you, your descendants, as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is on, page turn, the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. The world will be blessed because of Abraham. How does that happen? God prepared a nation that has the power and strength and the will to be a blessing to this world. There is no other nation that really matches the United States in doing that. If there is a trial, a disaster around the world, who sends, food and blankets and such? It's the United States. We're prepared to help the world. And when disaster strikes, the world looks to the United States. The United States is a blessing to the world. The United States is a blessing to this world. God has blessed this world through Abraham. Through Abraham. We are now ambassadors. By now, one of my first mantras when I got here, it's not a mantra. By now, you should be teachers. We've been at this for a decade plus. And there are many things that we've covered. By now, you should be able to teach others. Because this is becoming your way of life. This is becoming your way of life. You're able to show the way. You're ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. It's not often we're going to be asked that question. I can think of one time in 50 years I was asked, why don't I keep Christmas? And it was an honest question. Up until then, everybody just said, you keep Christmas? No. Okay. Some said they wish they didn't because of the expense. I heard on the news radio, that the average person spends $400 on Christmas. Everybody, man, woman, and child. You have four kids, that's $2,000, the average person. But only once in all those years did someone actually say, Fred, why do you keep what you do and why don't you keep what you don't do? And they wanted to know. And I explained to him, and he thanked me, and okay, never mind. He liked the product, he didn't like the process. Many people like who we are, but they don't like the process of how we got here. How we got here. Matthew 5. A familiar story here. Because God blesses us physically, God blesses us internally, and now God is blessing others through us. Matthew 5, verse 14. Well, 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how should it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the foot. I've never had bad salt, thankfully. I like salt. Unfortunately, I can't have a lot of it. But I like salt. You are, verse 14, the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. What we say and do is an example to the world around us. What we say and do is an example of the way the world is going to be tomorrow. And by doing what is right, we glorify God, His Holy Spirit in us. So let your light shine. There's a quote from Barclay's The Daily Bible Study. I want to read here. Of one thing the Jews were very sure. No man kindled his own light. Jerusalem was indeed a light to the Gentiles, but, quote, God lit Israel's lamp. The light with which the nation or the man of God shone was a borrowed light. It was a borrowed light. It must be so with the Christian. It is not the demand of Jesus that we should produce our own light. We must shine with the reflection of His light. The radiance which shines from the Christian comes from the presence of Christ, which is the Christian heart. You know, we have two lights in our sky, don't we? We have the sun. Don't look at it. I did that as a teenager. You know, the sun's coming up, and don't just stare at it. Well, you got to stop that real quick. And we have a reflective light. There's an orb out there that has no light of its own. It is a reflective light of the sun. It's the moon. The other night we had a full moon, and I could almost read a newspaper in the backyard. It was brilliant, and I love full moons. But it's a reflective light. We reflect God in us to the world around us. We are that light on a hill. We are the light of the world. Just for fun, 2 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7, you can put this in your notes. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. It is God's power in us. It is not our own efforts. It's not our own power. We are this earthen vessel carries the treasure of God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit binds us together. The Holy Spirit opens the books to us. The Holy Spirit guides us, comforts us, gives us the knowledge of God and the true hope of tomorrow. The New Living Translation has 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, a little different. It says, we now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. Many times I'll tell you, anything I do right, it's God in me. Anything I do wrong, it's all me, baby. And I'm still a human being. I'm still a human being. I want to read you a piece of prose. I've tried to find the author. This has been listed multiple times as author unknown or anonymous. I'm going to find anonymous one of these days. He's got a lot of writing out there, a lot of material. The title is called The Chosen Vessel. It's also called The Master. It's also known as Searching for a Vessel. It's known as The Master's Vessel. And that's a powerful story because I'll just read it to you. Piece of poetry, The Master's Vessel. The master was searching for a vessel to use. On the shelf there were many. Which one could he choose? Take me, cried the gold one. I'm shiny and bright. I'm of great value and I do things just right. My beauty and luster will outshine the rest. And for someone like you, master, gold would be best. The master passed on with no word at all. He looked for a silver urn. Narrow and tall. I'll serve you, dear master. I'll pour out your wine, and I'll be at your table whenever you dine. My lines are so graceful, my carving so true, and my silver will always compliment you. Unheeding, the master passed on to the brass. It was wide mouthed and shallow and polished like glass. Hear, hear, cried the vessel. I know I will do. Place me on your table for all men to view. Look at me, cried the goblet of crystal so clear. My transparency shows my contents so clear. Though fragile am I will serve you with pride, and I'm sure I'll be happy in your home to abide. The master came next to a vessel of wood. Polished and carved, it solidly stood. You may use me, dear master, the wooden bowl said, but I'd rather you use me for fruit not for bread. Then the master looked down and saw a vessel of clay, empty and broken. It helplessly lay. No hope had the vessel that the master might choose to cleanse and make whole, to fill and to use. Ah, this is the vessel I've been hoping to find. I will mend and use it and make it all mine. I need not the vessel with pride of itself, nor the one who is narrow to sit on the shelf, nor the one who is big mouth and shallow and loud, nor one who displays his contents so proud, nor the one who thinks he can do all things just right, but is this plain earthly vessel filled with my power and might. Then gently he lifted the vessel of clay, mended and cleansed it, and filled it that day. Spoke to it kindly, "There's work you must do. Just pour out to others as I pour into you." You know, we're that clay. And Jesus Christ is the potter. Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64, verse 8. When we think of the blessings that God does for us, and there are many, when we think of the blessings that God does in us, and they are extraordinary, God also blesses those around us because we have allowed ourselves to become clay in His, the potter's hand. Isaiah 64, verse 8. "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you our potter. And all we are the work of your hand." All we are the work of your hand. Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18. As we wind down here. Jeremiah 18. Verse 1, we are the clay. Jesus, God is the potter. He is our Father. "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, 'Arise and go to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words.'" I'm going to give you an example. I want you to see something viscerally. Watch and see and learn. "Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter." Now, my margin says it was ruined. He made a mistake. He mushed it. "So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel.'" We're that earthen vessel that God pours out blessings to us, around us and in us, and now through us to everyone we meet. We're to remember His benefits, His blessings that He gives to us, for us, in us, and through us. When we think about that vessel, just briefly, 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 26, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things. God has chosen broken pottery to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty." God has given us something incredibly gifted. Do you know that there is a Japanese art form. It's known as kintsugi. They take something that is ceramic that is broken, and they add gold to all the broken parts, and they make it stronger than the original. But it's an art form. Because what's broken now can be useful again. I don't know about you, but in my calling, I was a mess. And God took that mess and did something with it. He's doing something with all of us. Kintsugi, or it's called gold rejoinery or gold repair. And it's in an art form. And they take gold and silver and sometimes platinum and they make repairs and it becomes pieces of art. It becomes something very different. Acts 9. Acts 9, verse 15. God is referring to Paul here. But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." You and I are chosen vessels of God. We now have God's Holy Spirit in us. We are the temple of God. And God is blessing everyone around us. We are a chosen vessel for responsibility and service. Our world has changed. Ephesians 2. We'll close on Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, when we think about God being the potter, we being the clay, Ephesians 2, verse 10, concludes the discussion about being a blessing, about God's blessings. Ephesians 2, verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God created a plan. God wanted us to walk according to His way. God wanted us to be an example to the world around us. He wanted us to be blessing to the world around us. He gives us His Spirit, pours it into us, and then we are to share this way of life as examples to the world around us. And as it said, to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. We are prepared now for good works. We need to remember God's benefits. We need to thank God for all His benefits. And that includes not only what He does for us, but also what He is doing in us and what He is doing through us. No Christian should ever think themselves fitting of the honor that God has called us, because we're called because we're the weak of the world. Doesn't want us to remain there. Because His Spirit in us makes us strong. We need to be sure to be receptive to what God is doing for us, in us, and through us. Because that is what God's way of life is all about. Do not forget all His blessings and all His benefits in our life.